in our studies in this class on Bhagavad Gita, we have been seeing that how the sufferings, restlessness, and in general all the problems that we face are because we have based our life not on the truth but on the false changing appearances. The appearances come and go. We take them as if they are permanent, and thus ensues all the sufferings, all the different problems because of the contradictions involved in it. The contradictions are like this, that we take something to be real, something to be permanent, something that is going to be with us all the time. We base our life on that. And that not being the truth, when we see the things change, they go away, it shatters us. Like we buy the stocks, thinking that we will have lot of money permanently with us. Although we see all the time, they go up and down, up and down, yet we see and don't see. And so, when there is a big fall, it is not that the stocks really fall, we fall with it. The problem is not with the stocks. But when they fall, and we also suffer a big fall. And when they rise, we also seem to rise. Depends on, you know, whether what your position is. The rise is good for someone, bad for somebody. Those who are homeowners want to sell their homes. When the prices go down, they feel sorry. And those who want to buy, when the prices go high, they feel sorry. So it is that is the world. These things keep on continuously changing. And like the waves on the ocean, we take those things to be permanent. People come in our life. We form relationships. We become, say, husband or wife, offsprings and parents, brothers, sisters, siblings, friends, all that we become. These are just the relationship between the waves, you know. The waves rise and then kind of one relation, one wave forms a relationship with another wave. Now are those waves permanent? Those waves change. They go away. And therefore, what we thought to be permanent, that gets shattered. So, therefore these contradictions in life, they keep on giving us blow after blow. Sri Krishna is trying, Lord Krishna is trying to bring the truth to us through Arjuna. Arjuna is the medium. We have to bring ourselves to the level of Arjuna to understand this truth. That Arjuna is now at this stage where he has seen that this terrible suffering that is in life cannot be removed by getting anything in this world. This is to be felt, you know, it must be prickingly felt. then only we will stop hankering after those things. Arjuna has realized that this great despondency that has come into his life cannot be removed by anything that one may get in this world. This illusion has to drop off from our awareness. Friends, it is sometimes it feels very difficult, or it we are not. It seems that no, all these things that we are hankering for are real, and we must continue to hanker after it. Only the scriptures should show us how to get them. That is what we are seeking the religion for. That let I want a big nice house, so my religion should show me how to get that big nice house. I want to marry this boy or that girl, and the scripture should give me a trick by which I will be able to get all that I am seeking. It is but the scriptures, they are like our real mother. That is what this, in the beginning, Bhagavad Gita is called Amba, that the divine mother. She is, Amba means mother. Our mother is, this mother does not pamper us. This mother takes care of us and therefore points us to the truth that, well, my child, you are hankering after those things, but they are really the source of your misery. You feel that they will bring satisfaction and happiness in your life, but please don't hope against hope. This is not possible in principle because they are appearances. Just as you cannot be satisfied, your thirst cannot be quenched by running after the mirage. You may keep on running, but well, you will never get water. So similarly, these things that you see and you feel that they will soon bring happiness to your life, they appear just very near at hand, like the objects that one sees in the TV, maybe. In the TV screen you see those objects, look very close. Can you get them? And not in the TV screen. It is, although appears, it is not really there. So one must learn this, that our thirst for water will not be satisfied by running after the mirage. It is very difficult for us to believe or to have this understanding that the things that I am seeing are very difficult to get. We keep on striving after them for a long, long time. The young people feel that, I have not given it sufficient try. Maybe I did not get it till now, but I am just 20 years old or 22 years old, whole life is still ahead of me. Maybe by the time I am 25, I will surely be able to get, if not earlier. Now, it doesn't take, too long for that fellow to get gray-haired, become old. The old age creeps in stealthily, but very fast, really. It creeps in very fast. And before you realize, already you are old. And then you feel, oh, really I have not got all those things that I wanted to get. Swami Vivekananda therefore very graphically describes this old age as a heap of shattered dreams. Swami Vivekananda's language is very forceful, strong language, a heap of shattered dreams. And that is why a sign of old age is to keep on dwelling on the past when the person was young. They keep on talking about their younger days, how I used to do when I was a child or when I was a young man, because there is really nothing now that they can hope for. The dreams are shattered. Young people, they try to still feel that they still have the chance of getting those things. And therefore, although they have the enthusiasm, they don't have the wisdom. What we need is a combination of both, that there must be the wisdom of the ripe age, the experience and wisdom of the ripe age, and yet enthusiasm of youth to realize the spiritual truths. It is very difficult combination, but this is what we need, that while we are young, try to be wise. While we are young, let us learn this truth. And even whenever we learn it, try to strive to attain it from that point immediately without brooding. Oh, I have wasted all my life now in this. What can I do? I have already crossed my 50 or 60 or whatever. Now the time has gone. What can I do now? Don't brood over it. Start at this moment. Change the direction of life at this moment. It is said that in Hindi language, they say it very nicely, that what we want is combination of both the wisdom and the enthusiasm. In Hindi, the wisdom, sometimes the nice word for it is that hosh, awakening. So they say, jawani mein josh rehta hai, parantu hosh nahi rehta. Budhapa, budhape mein hosh aata hai, parantu josh chala jata hai. And this hosh and josh means the enthusiasm and wisdom both need to be combined. And Bhagavad Gita brings this idea very, very forcefully. The truth is presented, and presented in a psychologically congenial way. We saw that when Sri Krishna told Arjuna about the eternal self, that is not affected by the changes in the body, just as the essential nature of cloud is not affected by what you see the cloud as. Children look at the cloud and then say, look, that is the elephant going in the sky. Or immediately then, before they can show to somebody, that elephant changes maybe into a rabbit, maybe into a deer. But while all these changes are going on, it is all the cloud. It is all the time it was cloud. It never was elephant or tiger or deer what you were seeing it as. It all the time was cloud. Similarly, we are the unchanging eternal self. The bodies, these appearances, they change. They must change. You cannot stop change and a death of that. And there is no concept of change in the self. The self is ever present. There is no birth or death to it. So Last time we saw that Sri Krishna told Arjuna that, well, if you are not getting this idea of the eternal unchanging self, you think that we are born and die, then accept the inevitability of the change and then don't grieve for it. Why should one grieve for what is inevitable? If you consider that we are just the bodies, then the birth, growth, decay and all that is part of this. Don't grieve for that then. It is useless to hold on to it. No, one should not try to hold on to it. It is going to die. That is how this life on this earth is. That is this story. As that nice little poem goes, Solomon Grandi born on Monday. Solomon Grandi born on Monday. Chiseled on Tuesday, married on Wednesday. Ill on Thursday, worse on Friday. Died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That is the story of Solomon Grandi. So this is the story of all of us. Basically, this is what is life on this earth as body. As bodies, this is what is this story. It may be, you may be a great, big, all-conquering monarch, or you may be a beggar on the street. Both have this biography same for both of us. You may be a highly learned man or an illiterate person. This biography is common to you. You may be the richest person in the world or the poorest fellow. This biography is same for us, that it comes and goes. Then why grieve for that? That which comes and goes, don't grieve for it. Don't get buffeted by these things. If you don't believe, if you don't accept to believe this permanence of the self, if you are not feeling it, I understand it is difficult to feel it. Where is the self? I don't see that. I see the body and see that the body is I. Well, then don't grieve, because then the death, separation and all that is inevitable. You are not killing anybody. The person has to die anyway, whether you kill or not. You feel you are killing, but suppose you don't kill, is that fellow going to last? Otherwise also is going to die. Don't grieve about then and the death of that. Our problem is this idea of permanence pervading in the midst of impermanence. This contradiction cannot leave us. And so, the only way to understand is that see what is permanent and get attached to it. The problem, if we see impermanent as impermanent, then we will not get attached to it. The problem is the impermanent is seen as permanent. If impermanent is seen as impermanent, we don't get attached to it. Impermanent, seen as permanent, becomes the source of attachment. So, therefore the solution is given by Sri Krishna. And that, well, if you don't want to accept that, forget. Then at least don't be attached to the things. Know that the things come and go. Don't feel any sense of connections or belongings. Nothing belongs to you. Just as there is no connection like the one wave owning another wave. There is no such thing. So, if you consider that you are just the bodies, then don't worry about it. He says, look at all these forms. Now he is trying to bring him again to this truth that look, this self is real. Why do we have the sense of reality in everything? Sense of permanence or reality is there in everything. Why? Where is that? It is because there is something that is permanent and that is inside all this. The forms, they come and go. That is not permanent. So, see that he points out to Arjuna, avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktanidhananyeva tatraka paridevana. Look at the perception of these forms. They were not there before birth. We were not there before birth. I once asked my dad, and some others were discussing that how was the situation during the Second World War and how the scarcity of things was affecting their life. And then I asked that, where was I at that time? So he replied that you were yet to be born then. You were not there at all. You were not born then. You were not there. So all of us as bodies were not there at some time. Not just we, extend it to everything, whatever we see was not there at some time. This building was not there at some time. This town of Providence was not there just a few centuries back. This whole earth was not there just a few billion years back. It is like that this whole solar system was not there just a little while ago. It is they are all these things are born. They are forms. They were not before that. And after a while it is all going to be gone too. We know that. Although we hope that other forms they may go. Especially it will be better if that troublesome neighbor dies earlier. But we somehow feel that I am going to be permanent all the time there. I am going to be there. But this is the truth, that all these forms are going to vanish. Soon, you know, very soon they are going to be all bidding goodbye. No one knows who, when. Young children die. Babies die before even they see the daylight. Even in the womb of the mother they die. People die at young age. We don't know. Any moment that is possible. As form, it was not there some time back. It is not going to be there. May not be tomorrow. There may not be tomorrow. It is that Anne told me about the one couple here in Rhode Island. They got a big jackpot. Some $5 million or something or more. And then naturally reporters go to interview them. And he was asked, what are you going to do with these $5 million? What are your plans? And she said, look, you know, at my age, I even do not buy green bananas. It is so. The life is so uncertain, you know. Life is so uncertain. It is therefore know that only in the middle the things appear. It is the change that we perceive. That is what is called appearance as against reality. It is like measuring the shadow. We say that this is like this. We therefore have this problem in everything, and that we feel that I like this girl or this boy so nice, and we have measured it, you know, we have measured this. But we have measured just a shadow. And shadow changes, you know, as the sun rises, the shadow becomes different. So then you start thinking, and this girl I liked so much, she was so nice. Did I make a mistake? It seems I made a mistake. Let me measure again. The shadow that was, say, 10 feet in the morning, by mid-morning, it shrinks to, say, 4 feet or 3 feet. By noon, it disappears. So, gone. It is because you thought that the measurement of the shadow was real. It is like that. It is really I like. But it is a continuously changing thing. It goes away. What is real? That which is not shadow. This self never changes. Amidst all these changes, what does not change is the self. And if you ask, where is this self? I don't see it. How it is? Can you describe it to me? Very difficult to describe, very difficult to describe it, because it is not like anything that we perceive. Once, near Calcutta, our headquarters in Balurmat, there flows the Ganges. And during a couple of days, before the full moon or around the full moon and the new moon, when there is high tides in the sea, because of the high tide, the water rushes back in the Ganges, and when it collides with the incoming water, those waves, a big tall wall of water rises there along the bank. It comes and goes in just a jiffy, in a second like that. In Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, you see that incident. And Sri Ramakrishna is calling, "Hey, come, there is this big wall of water rising." In Bengal it is called Baan. This Baan. What they call it in English, I don't know. This high wall of water rising. So, come, see this. And Sri Ramakrishna, because he didn't have that sense of body, he didn't go to put on the nice cloth to go out to see it. He went out just almost naked to see that. The others, they waited, you know, to just to put on some good clothing to go out. By the time they put on the clothes, it was already gone. So, now how to describe it? When I asked somebody when I first went there, how does it look? Oh, it is wonderful, you know. But how, tell me how it is? Oh, it is simply wonderful. He added one simply to wonderful. Nothing more could he describe about it. It is wonderful. Now this self is therefore described like that. Because there is nothing similar to that rising of water that he can show me, it is like this. So the only word that came to him was, it is wonderful, wonder of wonders. Now the self is really the biggest wonder, wonder of all wonders. Ashcharyavat pasyati kaschidenam, ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva chanyah, ashcharyavat chainam anya shrunoti, shutvapi naiva kaschid veda kaschid. Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that this self is wonder of the wonders. Somebody perceives it as wonder pasyati. When one comes face to face with that experience, it is wonder of wonders. Never perceived anything like that. It is the greatest wonder that strikes you. And what is wonder, friends? What is wonderful? In American English, anything is wonderful. You know that this is one of the first words that I learned here. That how is that wonderful? How is that wonder? That has lost all wonder, really. That it's because everything is wonderful, you know. How was the rice cooked? Wonderful. Now what is there, what is wonder about it? You cook it every day. And it is said, oh, it was wonderful. It is, so really that wonderful has lost all wonder. And so, and what therefore they do when we have to really express something wonderful, they just add some higher tones into that. Like, wonderful! Now go on, what more can be said about it, you see? So, it is, there is really no word left for something more that is wonderful. That is how the languages become, you know, weaker and weaker by using the superlatives for the most ordinary things. American language has therefore become very weak language because the superlatives are used for most ordinary things. It is even not only about wonderful. Even the ordinary things are described as terrible. It is nothing, you know. One lady described me that it was just a slight rain was coming. And then she told me, Swami, it is pouring, all flood. Flood means, my understanding was of flood was something like Katrina and some such thing. That is flood. So I thought, oh, terrible something. Then I went out and saw, it was just, the ground was just barely wet. So, but that was called as flood. What to do? So the language, now when real flood comes, you are left with no word to describe it. It is, in the language, if we study the old literature, we will see that the superlatives are very rarely used. When there is really need for superlative, then the superlative will be used. Otherwise it is, my dearest, everybody addresses him, my dearest so-and-so. The word, because the word dear seems to be out of fashion, weak. I want to express something that my dearest, my only beloved. It is a nice story that somebody went to buy those greeting cards, you know, those wish cards that you buy, and he liked one. It was printed on that. To the only one I love. And he bought a dozen of them. So, So it's like that, you know. That the only one I love, my dearest. So that is how we dilute all the words. There is then no real, it is the words left for when you want to express some really exuberant feeling. Then you are bereft of any suitable words for that. This is the Swami Vivekananda has expressed this in some of his writings about how the language becomes weak like that. He said it about Bengali language, that in Bengali also this same defect has crept in, that superlatives are used for everything. One of our neighbors, in my childhood I experienced this, that neighbors were Bengali, and they used the word Bhishan for most ordinary things, you know. Bhishan means something really terrible and all, then that is, that word is used, like English one would use in the olden English. Forget this modern American that passes sometimes for English, but it is, So how to describe the self, that is the wonder of all wonders, nothing like that. It is completely different, totally different from anything that we perceive. You cannot really give any analogy for that. Certain things that you do not know, you try to present it through analogy. If you have not seen a tiger, then how to describe a tiger? Then our Triveni will explain that you see, you have not seen tiger, but have you seen a cat? Yes, yes, house cats, we all know, I like cats, and yes, so a tiger, now imagine the cat to become big, very big, about 50 times bigger, and now think about that like cat. But it is not, in all respects, it is not cat, it is, you cannot keep a tiger as a pet. With cat it is all right, you can take the cat on your lap, don't try it with tiger. So it is, you give the idea of tiger by comparing it to a cat, because there is some similarity. But with this self, there is no similarity with any form. You cannot express the self in terms of appearances. The permanence cannot be expressed in terms of the passing shows. So, it is just like the same idea that I had told earlier. Can you describe if somebody is seeing the movie and has just heard that the movie is shown on the screen? But the movie, when they came to the theater, the movie is already on. Now, the fellow asked, where is the screen? Can you tell me where is the screen? Now, where is the screen? They are sitting right in front of the screen. They are seeing nothing really but screen. All the pictures are really the passing appearances of the screen. And yet, no picture can be used to describe the screen. If the person who knows that there is the screen wants to express, wants to show the other fellow where the screen is, and if, say, he points out, and there is the screen, now in front of the finger, suppose at that time, there is the picture of a girl, is the screen like girl? The screen is not similar to girl in any respect. The screen is not girl, screen is not that boy, screen is not the mountain that you see in the movie. No picture of the screen can be a perfect or even a close analogy to describe the screen. So similarly, all these appearances cannot really give the idea of the perception of self, and therefore it is the most wonderful thing that one can ever think of. It is amazing than anything that we can think of. It is that sense of wonder is tremendous. It cannot be expressed by any analogy. And therefore, it is said here that some see this truth as a wonder, some others speak of it similarly as a wonder, some others hear about it as a wonder, some others, even after hearing of it, do not understand it at all. Cannot be understood. It is deeply hidden in everything, like the screen. This is all a movie on a big IMAX screen. Pictures come and go. And it is, where is the screen? That is the self on which these pictures come and go away. That screen is real. Where is that? When you see that the pictures are not real, the screen is real. That is, that strikes you as the greatest wonder. So, here, I will read a few lines from this beautiful book of Swami Ranganathananda, The Universal Message of Bhagavad Gita, where he has given a nice commentary on this verse. A tremendous mystery is this Atman. It is there, but it doesn't allow you to detect it at all the time. That is the hidden truth. In fact, one of the British poets of the last century, Robert Browning, who was very much influenced by the Vedantic ideas, has written a poem called Paracelsus. In that poem, he speaks of the Atman as the imprisoned splendor. There is a profound splendor in every one of us, but it is imprisoned by the body-mind complex. You have to release that imprisoned splendor. That is spiritual life. This Atman, he quotes from the Kathopanishad, this Atman is present in every being, but hidden, very, very mysterious. It does not manifest. That is the truth we can realize. We can release that splendor from its imprisoned state. That is what we do in our spiritual life. All hatred and violence, all exploitation will go when a little light of the Atman will light up your day-to-day life and human relationships. So, this concept of the imprisoned splendor is a very beautiful concept. So, that is how this verse 29 has brought before us this tremendous mystery, the imprisoned splendor, and the challenge to you, to me, and to everyone else is how to release it from that genetic prison. A very beautiful word, genetic prison. That is the prison of the body. It is from here that this is to be released. Let it come out, let it manifest. So Vivekananda defines religion in one scientific sentence. Religion is the manifestation of the divinity already in man. It is hidden, let it manifest. What a change will come in human life and in inner interhuman relations when a little of this divinity manifests in our life. That is the great teaching that is being expounded in the Gita. We are just at the beginning. Through all these 18 chapters, we shall be in the midst of this great theme, and the whole world is the audience today for the Gita. For formerly, only some people in India, not even the majority of our people, were benefited by this message. Today, the whole world is increasingly eager to get a copy of the Gita. Recently, a speaker from Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, wrote to me, "We don't know anything, we have got one or two books. Please send us some other books. We are hungry for these ideas." And that is how the world is looking for this light from Vedanta, the unchanging, hidden in all the changing appearances. This is the truth that we all have to realize, that this Self, the wonder of all wonders, is to be realized. And that is the essence that we all have, the potential divinity. The next verse explains that, Dehi Nityam Avadhyoyam Dehe Sarvasya Bharata. Each word in this line is pregnant with tremendous meaning, friends. The Dehi. Dehi means the embodied soul, the dweller of this house called body. Dehi. This soul is how it is? Nityam. It is ever present. It is the existence, E capital, the existence that can never become non-existence. It is the existence, not something that is subject to these follies of time, past, present, future, nothing touches it. It is the existence. So that is Dehi, the soul dwelling in the body. Deha is called his body. And the soul who dwells in this house of body. It is how it is Nityam. It is ever present. There is no past or future of it. It is in a continuous present. And therefore, avadhyo, it cannot be destroyed. And where it is? It is only in some special people.